proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program. We continue our series in Psalm 45, looking at the king as presented in the psalm. The 8th and 9th verses in this psalm describe the magnificence of the king's court. Even the most opulent of monarchs, such as Solomon, could not boast of such splendor. The psalmist lauded the king's apparel. Quote, "All thy garments smell of myrrh, and aloes, and cassia, out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad," unquote. Note that according to Exodus chapter 30, myrrh and cassia comprise two of the ingredients of the special ointment used for the anointing of Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. God forbade the Israelites from making such a compound for any individual's personal use. This mixture typified the anointing of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. As Peter pointed out in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, quote, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power," unquote. The use of the term ivory palaces in the 45th Psalm, the use of that term might evoke images of royal magnificence. Solomon presents the throne of ivory according to 1 Kings chapter 10. King Ahab of Israel had an ivory house constructed for him, as recorded in 1 Kings chapter 22. Nevertheless, the expression ivory palaces found in Psalm 45 might serve as a poetic allusion to the heavenly glories awaiting believers after the marriage supper of the Lamb has concluded. In Revelation chapter 21, John described the New Jerusalem as, quote, "descending out of heaven from God," unquote. He went on to add that, quote, "her light was like unto a stone most precious," unquote. Quote, "the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass," unquote. Quote, "the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones," unquote. These glories will make the king glad. That is, cause him to rejoice. He will have cause to celebrate the fulfillment of his father's promise, contained in the second psalm. Quote, "Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession," unquote. The presence of high-ranking dignities will enhance the magnificence of the king's marriage. The author of Psalm 45 observed that, quote, "king's daughters were among thy honorable women," unquote. Who were these king's daughters? Perhaps the expression denoted those women whose fathers pay tribute to the king as described in Psalm 45. Having the daughters of kings serving as her attendants would enhance the prestige of the bride in that ceremony. The writer of Psalm 45 noted that, quote, "upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir." Being allowed to stand or sit at an influential individual's right hand implied assuming position of authority granted by that individual monarch. For instance, King Solomon honored his mother Bathsheba by permitting her to sit at his right hand, an incident recorded in 1 Kings chapter 2. Gold of Ophir was an extremely valuable commodity. King Solomon imported such a cargo every 3 years, according to 1 Kings chapter 10. The king will indeed be a magnificent figure in Psalm 45. His long-awaited wedding will show how great he is. In our next session, we'll begin our look at how the bride, adorned, is glorified. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.